are the bosses we must pay for. From the cities to the farmlands and trenches full of mud. Cause war has always been the boss's way, sir. Come on!
The Union forever defending the right. Let's fight the right wing, our workers unite.
With our brothers and our sisters.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. So as we talked about on Friday last week, the state Supreme Court in Kentucky asked the question, you know, why? Why do you believe right-to-work laws are business-friendly? Why do businesses think that? And the woman on the court, you know, I thought, you know, said it perfectly. The whole reason that maybe it's viewed that way is, you know, they don't have to worry about bargaining with a strong union for better wages, hours, and conditions. They can have dictatorial control. That's what they really want. And it just, it's one of those things that, you know, I don't know that any court has really brought up. So good on Kentucky for doing it, which is why I've asked James DeWeese to come talk with us. He is a union representative, a Teamster rep there in Kentucky. Also a candidate for State House of Representatives there in Kentucky. James, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show this evening.
So am I getting this right? The state Supreme Court is actually taking up the question of right to work in your state and ask the question, you know, who benefits?
Well, they had their opening arguments the other day. I'm not really close to this case, but, you know, this is a very, very important case to us here in Kentucky. And, you know, and some of the reasons, you know, right to work has been passed for, you know, since the 2016 legislation cycle, and we are already facing some very ill effects in our state. And of course, you know, with the right to work being a scam as it is, and we've been saying that for a very long time that it's a scam, where we're constantly told that it's going to raise wages, and it's going to increase employment and things of that nature. We have now found ourselves the ranking third to the last state in the country in wage growth. So right to work is a very serious issue for us already.
Yeah, I mean, and it was amazing how quickly they rammed it through as soon as Bevin and the Republicans took over.
Yes, yes. And you know, and they, you know, the Republicans, they promised a lot of transparency, bringing transparency to our government and things like that. They completely locked us out of the Capitol. They locked us out of the committee rooms. They didn't let us have our voice, and they rammed this legislation through, knowing that most people did not want this bill to pass at all.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the statement by the by one of the justices. Her name was Elizabeth Hughes, and she you know, because, you know, the state's arguing that, you know, it's you know, it makes. Passing this law makes, you know, it just more attractive to businesses and is going to make it politically attractive and policy-wise attractive to business. And she says we're in a world where we ought to acknowledge real facts. And the reason it's perceived as business-friendly is because it has a direct impact on the strength of the union, which has a direct impact on the wages that are negotiated for workers. She says what the legal effect is a whole different question, but the reality of it is that they have more potential to control their labor costs if they are not sitting across the table from a strong union, not sitting across the table from you and your members. And that, to me, is the most accurate statement that I think you can say about right to work.
That's correct. And you know, but it goes to the effect of right to work goes another step further, too, because, you know, where unions set the bar in the community, the non-union companies must compete. And so as wages are lowered without unions, other non-union companies, you know, they reap higher profits too, while our paychecks continue to get slashed all through the community. And then there's other domino effects to it too. You know, we start losing taxation, our local taxation, and our schools start suffering, our local communities start suffering, our services diminish. And so right to work has a tremendous domino effect all through the community.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just there. I mean, it's all kinds of things: unemployment insurance, workers' comp, worker safety. You know, all of the negatives seem to go up in places that pursue this. Yet, what I hear from the people who are pushing this poison is that it's the utopia. There are going to be more jobs created. In fact, the attorney for your governor made the argument that, well, what'll happen is we'll get more jobs to come into the state because we'll steal them from other states. So we'll steal all these jobs from other states, and we'll be able to do, we'll be able to do more, and we'll get higher taxes and all that stuff. And by having more jobs, wages will magically go up, and it'll be great. And yet, no state where that has happened has. There's nothing. There's nowhere to point to. You go, this is the model.
Yeah. Yeah, and here in Kentucky, I mean, we were starting to become a manufacturing leader anyway. A lot of companies were already moving here without the right to work law. When a company moves into a state, let's just be clear about this. When they move into a state, what do they want? They want a educated workforce. They want people with skills. They want roads. They want communities that have services that will transpire into permanent residency from the people who live there. And those are the things that companies look for when they move to a state, not a right to work law. This is just a give back from donors that these guys have taken, in my opinion, to increase profits for these companies.
So have you seen a massive increase in employment in your state? I mean, have you been able to steal jobs from Ohio? And
no, you know, they're bragging about a few that's moved here, but it's nothing out of the ordinary that I see. You know, unemployment is at a really, really low level right now. So, you know, you're not going to see any massive effect anyway.
Right.
You know, anybody who wants a job can typically get a job, but that's the problem. What kind of job are you able to get? And wages are so low. People are barely making it, you know, and what's sad is, you know, used to see so many people that are out of a job, they're struggling. And now you see people with a job, and they're still struggling. It's awful. People deserve a living wage. They deserve affordable health care. They deserve retirement. And the only vehicle for that is unionization.
Yeah, I would argue they don't deserve it. They've earned it. It's something
that
we should
they
be do. Demanding and that people earned and they should have.
Absolutely.
To me, it's that simple. But, you know, here's the other part of this question then. Because you're right. You know, unemployment across the country is at historic low levels. And we're not seeing wages going up at all. In fact, we're actually seeing them going backwards, which is kind of surprising economists, because, you know, we've been led to believe for so long that as more jobs are created, the labor markets tighten, that wages go up. But the numbers just don't bear that out.
That's right. I mean, people are truly struggling. I mean, wages are at an awful low for our communities. And, we're going to have to figure out a way to get those back up.
Let's talk about you. Why are you running for state rep? Why would you put your name in the middle? Why would you throw yourself in the fishbowl?
Well, the very things we're talking about. You know, I want to make government work for working families, and I don't feel that it is. It's working. It's working for the select few.
And how are you going to change that?
Well, you know, there's a number of things. You know, I'm always going to support good wage growth, good livable minimum wages. I support affordable health care. I support our labor folks and their issues. We got to quit whittling away at laws that protect workers. You know, those are some of the things that we can do. And you know, one thing I'd like to do is I'd like to actually pass a law, and that if you work for a company and you get elected in office, they got to pay your benefits and hold your job while you're in service to the community. That is the true barrier that keeps working people from going into office.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know, it's interesting because, you know, I have a lot of people here in Pennsylvania who think that elected officials are paid too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you hear some people that foregoes their wages, but it's important that elected officials are paid so that working people can go there and not suffer from a lack of income.
No, that's the argument I make here, that you know, everyone wants to say, well, they should forego their pensions and they should forego vacation and all this other stuff. Going, No. They work like everybody else. They deserve.
That's right.
They should get pensions and health care, and they should get vacations like everybody. Like I want everyone else to have. I would like to have what they have. And this is that weird moment because, you know, we've kind of turned into a country that goes, you know, Jim DeWeese has health care. He's got a pension. I don't have one. Screw him. He shouldn't have it. Instead of going, hey, he's got all this great stuff. How do we all get it? I mean, when did that change?
It has been changing over decades. And just like the verbiage that you hear against our teachers and our first responders, when I was a kid, we couldn't talk enough about how they weren't paid enough, and now we're talking about how they're paid too little or how they're paid too much.
Yeah, they're greedy.
You know, they need a good wage. We need good benefits for them, just like any other worker.
So let me ask you this, because you know obviously the Republicans passed right to work, you know, on a special session in your state, which I keep telling people here in Pennsylvania, if Scott Wagner is elected governor here in Pennsylvania, the people of Kentucky will get whiplash as to how fast it passes here in Pennsylvania. Is there a way forward? Do you see a path to repealing that, to eventually down the road going, you know what, it hasn't worked? I mean, I look at what happened in Missouri just last week, what happened in Ohio in 2011, where the people spoke. What do you see happening in Kentucky going forward?
Well, the thing is, once you lose something, it's really hard to get it back, okay? And it's going to take a lot of organizing in a lot of different ways for us to get Kentucky back to just where we were pre-2016. And of course, at the level of Frankfurt, we're going to have to get a good union-friendly, worker-friendly governor in there. We're going to have to change the makeup of our Senate and the makeup of our House, which is a really big feat in getting all three of those together. But in the meantime, until we can do that, we need to be organizing on our shop floors. We need to be out talking to our neighbors and talking to our friends and rebuilding the movement person by person. And, you know, even with myself, you know, when Right to Work passed, I'm a business agent for at Teamsters Local 89 representing the UPS workers. When it passed, I took it upon myself to start treating my members as if they had Right to Work and going to the orientations, personally signing them up, talking to them about the importance of a union. Stuff we should have been doing all along.
Right.
I've personally been doing that. I'm not seeing any problems with signing up members because these young folks, to me, are the future of labor. And I know the millennials get a bad rep, but I love them. They are some of the most vicious fighters the labor movement has seen in decades.
No.
And I'm really enjoying talking to them and helping build the movement up from the ground floor up.
No, that's a good thing. I mean, because, you know, I've had some people say, well, this could be the best thing that happens to labor, that that they have to go back and they have to hand collect dues. They have to look their members in the eyes and hold on to the more militant ones, which may have the entire movement become much more militant as you oust the moderating voices. And maybe that's going to be true. But, you know, I look at the millennials and, you know, the polling numbers are overwhelmingly they support unions because, look, they watch their parents get screwed over. They watch them lose jobs and worry about health care and worry about all that stuff. And not to mention that as a generation, they're saddled with the most student debt in the history of this country. So they got to be ticked off to begin with.
Well, I appreciate that comment there because some of the things you just said is one of the things I impress upon our young members is stability because they don't know what it is. They watch the mom and dad go from job to job to job, house to house, or apartment to apartment. And when you explain to them, hey, we have a union, we have stability because we stick together, this is what we've already achieved, and this is what we're looking to achieve further, they get it. They truly get it. They're energized with it. And that's why I'm very, very, very pro-millennial for our movement.
Oh, I am too, because we don't have any other, we have no other choice.
That's right.
Don't let me bring you down, but they're our last hope. I mean, you know, the children of the future, they're the future of this movement. They're the future of work in this country. And what they do now and what we're able to help move forward on is the future that they're going to inherit. And my children and your children are going to inherit.
That's right. And you know, I work at Teamsters Local 89. We're a very strong local across the country. People know of us. We will fight anyone that we need to fight for our members. And and we're always willing to take on the fight. But you know, when you speak to the young workers about this, you know, they get really excited about being union members, and they get really excited about having choice and having the democracy of the union. And so I am very upbeat with our young members and what they're capable of doing. And you know, our movement has had fluctuations in throughout our history, and we didn't always have laws that protected us. Okay. And yet we survived, and we'll continue to survive. So long as people are pushing the corner and they're not making enough and they're struggling, we will always survive.
Yeah, good point. Let's get back to your campaign for a minute, because obviously money is always an issue. Can people donate to your campaign?
Yes, they can. And matter of fact, I just walked out of a fundraiser I just had, and we raised a little bit of money. We need a lot more. You're able to donate to me at www.jamesdeweese.com, and if anybody would like to make a contribution there, I would greatly appreciate it. You know, and we need more working people in legislature. That's what we have to change. Those are the dynamics that we have to change. We need regular working folks that knows what a gallon of gas truly costs. They know what a gallon of milk truly costs, and they feel the pain when those prices rise.
Let me ask you a last line of questioning. You know, I ask everybody who runs for office, what's that one thing that's your issue? That there's, you know, look, I want people to compromise where they can, where you can work together to get things done. But what's the one issue that James DeWeese says, you know what, there's no compromise on? This is my value.
That would be people and people's paychecks. You know, that's my one issue. That's my main issue.
Spoken like a true labor guy, James. Good stuff.
Yep.
I appreciate the thoughts, the time. Good luck to you. I wish you the best, and I'd love to have you come back and talk to us again once you're elected.
Hey, anytime you give me a call, and I'll be happy to talk about any issues that you'd like to talk about. We've got a lot of them going on in this country, and we got a lot of work to do.
Good stuff, James. I appreciate the time. Best of luck to you, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. And again, check out the website, jamesdeweese.com. We'll make sure we get links out so you can throw him a buck or two, make sure that that they're competitive. I mean, and it's all these campaigns. Quick break, right back, stick around. You listen to the Rick Smith Show.
The first ones to die.